You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up following this weekend's deadly mass shooting in El Paso, the Mexican government is demanding that the U.S. better protect Mexican citizens and Mexican Americans. We'll learn more about the relationship between the two countries in the aftermath of the shooting. Now it's time for our weekly state news roundup. We're checking in with reporters about the stories they've been covering around Wisconsin. First, a major storm made its way across the northern half of the state this Wednesday, with several tornadoes touching down. Some of the worst damage was in Green Bay, where 14,000 people lost electricity. Since then, crews have worked overtime to clear the streets and bring back power. Doug Schneider is a reporter and government watchdog for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Doug, thanks for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
Well, this storm moved across the northern half of Wisconsin back on Wednesday. What can you tell us about what it did when it hit Brown County?
It got through the western half of the county pretty much okay, dumping a lot of rain and lightning and things like that. And then once it crossed the East River and or the Fox River in Green Bay, things got a little hairy. The winds picked up and some trees and telephone poles went down, and it turned out we had an EF5 tornado.
Yeah, confirmed tornado setting. And did I read in your reporting 2 inches of rain in 2 hours at one point?
That's correct. I mean, cats and dogs and everything else you can think of. It was just, it was soaking, and being out in it, you could feel the weight of it hitting you. It was like somebody pouring a bucket of water on your head from a ladder.
Talk about some of the damage in the area. I know power outages. Can you talk about that and whatever else happened then?
We had at one point 14,000 homes and businesses without power, and it was sort of atypical in that it was dozens, if not more, isolated outages. So that was a little bit challenging for WPS to get things restored. The other issue was with trees. A number of those down, you could kind of trace the path that the storm followed. And I'd been driving over from the west side of the city and managed to miss it. And then a couple blocks from my home, I turned down the street. And in the span of 2 blocks, there were about 10 trees down.
And this isn't the first big storm you've had. Just a couple few weeks ago, right? You had another big storm hit Green Bay.
And we had a handful this summer, and it's created some unusual situations. A couple of the early ones caused some flooding, you know, some filled basements and some damage to homes along the East River, again on the southeast side of the city. This one did not. The river levels rose fairly quickly, but we did not get reports of any sort of significant flooding. There were some folks who had water in their basement, but much less devastating than previously.
And you mentioned 14,000, close to 14,000 people lost their power. Where are we now in bringing power back to people?
Everything's pretty much back except for isolated cases. I'm looking at the outage map now, and it says there are 58 customers in Green Bay and one up in Langlade County, and that's about it for the WPS service area. The utility had said that things would be back, mainly back to normal, no later than yesterday afternoon, and that's been pretty much true.
Doug, thanks a lot for joining us, and I wish you mellow weather for the rest of August.
Thanks so much.
Doug Schneider is a reporter and government watchdog with the Green Bay Press Gazette. He joined us for an update on the recovery from a big storm this week that left thousands in the city without power. Now, two brothers from Shawano County have been missing for more than 2 weeks. Justin and Nick Diemel disappeared while on a business trip in Bramer, Missouri. The brothers are now believed to be dead, and police have taken one person into custody on charges related to the disappearance. Katie Bernard is a reporter covering crime, police, and courts for the Kansas City Star. She's been following this story. Katie, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
This is a strange story, a tragic story. I know a lot of people in Shawano County following this closely, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But can you take us back to late last month and the events that led to this disappearance?
Yeah, absolutely. So from what we know at this point, the Diemel brothers have owned a livestock company for about 4 years and have cows kind of across the Midwest, including in Missouri. And they went down to went down to Missouri on a business trip, and one of their last stops was at this farm in northwest Missouri in Bramer, Missouri, where Garland Nelson, who's now charged in connection with the case, works. and they were then reported missing on July 21st around 11:30 a.m. when their family realized they weren't answering their phones anymore, and they ended up missing their flight back to Wisconsin. So that was the point at which the missing persons report was filed. And then the rental truck was found at a commuter lot in Holt, Missouri, which is about 35 miles southwest of the farm, the following Monday.
And then how did the investigation play out after that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So once the rental truck was found, that really kicked off the search. We didn't hear much between that point and the next week when the between the point that Monday when the truck was found and then that next Friday, Garland Nelson, who's a 25-year-old from Bremer, Missouri, was charged with tampering with the pair's rental truck. The truck is seen on surveillance video being driven without a passenger between Bremer and Holt, and Nelson later admits in court documents to moving the vehicle. And so it's on that same day that it's determined a death investigation rather than a missing persons investigation. The following Tuesday, police told us that human remains were found on the farm where Nelson worked, that last farm that the brothers were known to be at. And at that point, it's kind of where the investigation has left off. We haven't had any updates since that point. And to our knowledge at this point, the human remains have not been identified yet.
And as I understand it, the brothers from Wisconsin, now tragically feared dead, apparently had a business deal involving this Garland Nelson?
Yes, that is our understanding. I spoke to Garland Nelson's mother last week, and she told me that the brothers were in town to look at some calves that they were taking care of and feeding for the brothers.
Now, you came up to Wisconsin and visited with people in Shawnee County, of course, family members devastated by this. What did you hear from the community in Shawnee County as they followed this story?
Yeah, the community in Shawnee County was largely, they were in shock, but they weren't in shock that was going to let them stand still. It was a large number of people that in some way, shape, or form knew the Demo family because it's a big family in a set of small towns. And so they were coming together to do anything they could to support the family, was what I saw.
What kind of efforts did that involve?
Yeah, it was wide-ranging. There was one farmer who owned a U-Pick farm and took a day and donated all proceeds from the farm to the family, and then challenged any company to match his donation, which ended up being a concrete company. And then a local baseball team, the Navarino Rangers, took a game that was one of their biggest games of the year and donated all proceeds from the gate, ran a raffle, and raised additional funds, and ended up raising about $7,000 for the family. I've also seen a haircut-a-thon being promoted on Facebook and multiple members of the community individually auctioning off different items with the intention of donating whatever money they earn back to the family.
Of course, it's a tragedy, the apparent loss of the Demo brothers here. Was it also shocking, the sense of mystery and uncertainty at this point about what exactly happened?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, any sort of loss like this is tragic and shocking, but the unknown makes it even worse. I had the opportunity to sit down and speak with their family, and I know I spoke to Nick's wife, and she told me that the unknown makes it so much more horrific because she has nightmares about what may have happened, and it could be a really long time before we're going to have any clue what really happened to these two.
And what kind of memories did people share about the Demo brothers?
Yeah, it was memories of two really, from what I could tell, genuine, fun-loving guys. Both Lisa Demo and Taylor Mueller. Taylor was Justin's girlfriend and Lisa was Nick's wife, had known the two since they were teenagers, and were able to share both memories of them as children, as well as a lot of memories of hunting with them and date nights and time that they spent with Nick's children.
And Katie, as we wrap up, what are you watching for next in this investigation and possible charges?
Yeah, it's hard to say with charges at this point because it seems like there's still, you know, a lot going on with the investigation. What I'm wondering if we will hear next is identification of the human remains that were found on the farm. That'll give us a good point in the direction of where this investigation is going.
Katie, thanks a lot for talking with us today.
Thank you. Have a good day.
That's Katie Bernard, reporter for the Kansas City Star. She joined us to talk about the investigation into the disappearance of two Wisconsin brothers from Shawnee County in the Kansas City area last month as part of our weekly roundup of news affecting people around Wisconsin.